It's a lot of Aaron Sorkin fantasy in one sentence, but okay.
Everybody, you're Sorkin in it. It's Studio 60, please take just a minute. It's about a show, kinda like SNL, but it only lasted one season. Oh well, we're Sorkin in it.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Sorkin in It. I'm not Brian Warren.
I'm not Lex Friedman.
But now you should know who we are, and it's not that complicated. But this is Sorkin in It, the show where we talk about the works of Aaron Sorkin. And this season is all about Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. And this week, we watched the episode titled Breaking News, which, if memory serves, is episode number 18.
18. How could anybody get that number wrong?
I don't know. Brian, what was it about?
Oh, well, it did have some breaking news in it, but no, this is not an episode of The Newsroom. It's an episode of Studio 60, and it all kind of happens during the taping of a particular episode of Studio 60. We kick off the episode right when they're like 2 minutes to air, and we wrap it up shortly after the goodbyes. So it, but the main things that are happening is Jordan's experiencing some sort of problem. Some health problem. She's drinking a whole bunch of orange juice because she feels like the baby's not kicking. But there's even a bigger problem going on because Tom's brother, they haven't heard from him in a while. And so we wonder, is there some big crisis hit in this? And everybody's trying to decide whether to tell Tom. And Matt is having a really crappy day and a really crappy several weeks of his life because his addiction to pills is coming to a head and actually becoming more public. So those are the big three things going on. I'm sure there's other stuff, but Lex, how do you feel about this episode?
And the ratings are bad.
Oh, that's, yeah, the ratings are
underlying
bad.
Current. Yep. So as with so many episodes of Studio 60, it's a struggle for me, but my notes at the very end were, what a dark and often sad episode. Mm-hmm. You know what? It's good.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good episode.
It was not an episode to make you laugh or pick you up, but it is a well-executed show. This was a good one.
Yeah. One challenge I was noting is that the other Aaron Sorkin shows about TV shows are about daily TV shows. Mm. So there's always a new broadcast. There's always a new show each day. And it was very rare that... or let me put that more positively. Sports Night would almost always start with an episode. Not every time, but so frequently you'd start with an episode of Sports Night. They don't do that as often with Studio 60 because there's like, I guess, you know, it's only a weekly episode. They can't always be in an episode. But this one, you right away, you feel like you're in it because we're at the start of the broadcast. It's about to go live, and that's fun.
That energy does get me excited too. I was like, I started to write like, oh, looks like they're about to shoot this show. And then sure enough, you hear Herb or somebody say 2 minutes to air. And you're like, oh, okay, we're moving. This is exciting.
The sketch that we go live with, we've got Herb is misspeaking.
Yeah.
And Matt gets a little bit of a runner. You've got Jordan and Jack, and Jordan continues to feel threatened by that other lady. We're setting up all these things, right? We got Harriet and Sim talking about the email that Tom hasn't gotten from his brother. But we also get to see glimpses of the opening sketch with Tom as an assistant to the vice president. And I don't know about you, Brian, but I thought that sketch was terrible.
Not
it seemed
funny.
Like that sketch was really lacking for jokes.
I couldn't find a joke in there at all. And one thing that I jotted down about this particular thing is this thing opens with a laugh line with a laugh track playing, because I highly doubt the actual audience was laughing at this. And they keep laughing at these things that just aren't jokes, aren't funny at all. And so something almost felt like the laugh track loaded wrong or something, because it was, felt a little just awkward.
I totally agree. And it just really didn't work. And then we go to, there's a lot of plot lines getting teed up, including the lawyers back talking to Matt.
Oh, yeah.
Her name is Mary. Is that right?
Yeah, Mary.
Cage waiting lawyer. And I don't know what your reaction was, but I like that actress, but I was like, ugh. I didn't need more lawyer, so I wasn't excited for that.
She had some weird lines in this episode, too. I mean, we can get to them later, but yeah. She just seems like not funny. I think that's a problem.
And she had a bad conversation with Harriet, where Harriet said that a writer's room is a tough place for a woman. Mm-hmm. Okay. I wrote snore. I wrote, once again, this opening sketch sucks. But this episode did indicate to us, I'm going to go to the beginning and end.
Okay.
there are two significant differences between how Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip does its show versus how SNL does its. The actor, the character, didn't say live from Hollywood in Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. They threw it up. They teed up Herb in the booth to say it. And I thought, well, that's a tiny bit different. I don't remember if we've seen them say it live before. I think they, so this show does it by not having a cast member do it at the end of the opening sketch. They send it up to Herb. And then the Good Nights were also evolved out of a 1 second sketch. Like they
that was
had a, like a one joke sketch. They, they're like, and now Good Night. And they run over to join the Good Nights. And it's like, okay. Go off, man. Be your own little different from SNL show. It's fine.
It's nice that they are finding at least a couple ways to differentiate themselves.
I did think, and we've talked about the Nicolas Cage impression before, but cooking or healthy cooking with Nicolas Cage does seem to be like a reasonable sketch premise. Like it feels right at home on an SNL style show.
Yeah.
So why don't we do our occasional approach of not going chronologically, but rather going plot point by plot point. So let's do Matt and Mary and Karen, who's filing the lawsuit. And apparently Matt was called for a reference about Karen. And he said that like she was difficult, but he didn't know that she was difficult. So that's like bad, potentially.
Disparaging her job and robbing her of future whatever. Yeah.
And this whole conversation with Mary that Matt has involves flirtation, seemingly one-sided flirtation for a lot of it. She says, "You're so cute, I could put your poster up in my dorm room." And then he's like, "What does that mean?" And she's like, "I don't know. I just say things." Okay. Way later in the episode, with the same plot point, Mary's talking to Jordan. And Mary says to Jordan, "You're a lawyer, right? Ah, I can speak in legal terms now because you are also a lawyer." And it's just, it's so funny to me how much Sorkin loves lawyers.
And then they have a conversation that is completely understandable to anybody who has no idea about what's going on with legal stuff.
Exactly so. Yeah. but some of Mary's flirting, she talks about how high her IQ is and how she can listen to the sketches and talk to Matt at the same time. I don't know.
I found her so frustrating because I was trying to listen to the sketches too. Like Matt is trying to listen in, Danny's listening in, everybody's trying to pay attention to the show, and she just keeps talking over everybody because she's got a deadline or something. It felt at best mildly frustrating, and at worst, like she was just dang annoying and like disrespectful.
I absolutely agree. And I don't understand. I really don't understand any of it, but I don't understand like, why does this conversation have to happen now?
Yeah.
And like, he's saying, "Hey, I don't want to do this." And she just doesn't care. Oh, it's just weird. It's weird. But she also has a conversation with Harriet at some point. Mary does, and concludes that Harriet very quickly deduces that Mary is interested in Matt.
Yeah.
She doesn't like that. She's also, Harriet says, not a lot of comedy writers dated the prom queen. And I wrote a profanity to Harriet. Screw you. Comedy writers can date whoever they want.
Yeah. I don't know who that says worse things about. It's not a good look.
And there's a line where it's clearly, I think that Aaron was pleased with himself when he wrote it. That was the vibe he gave off. But she says, "The other guys were writing to be mean. Matt writes to get people to like him."
Yep. That was believable. I don't know that the other writers were trying to be mean. I don't know.
It is true that punching down is like the easiest, cheapest kind of comedy to write. And maybe he's not doing that the same way, but I don't know.
But
then Aaron's like, "It's working on you."
What examples do we have of this? Like we have like, Tom and Dylan trying to get a sketch on the air. We've seen Lucy write a bit. Andy's written. We remember Luke and Matt were both trying to get Harriet to like them. The dots just don't connect to me.
Yeah.
People have been generally like writing to just get stuff on air, like to further their own careers and trying to whatever they can to be funny to make that happen. But I've never seen like this meanness to it that she's talking about.
I think that's a totally fair point. I didn't even think about it in real time as I was watching, but yeah, they're not trying to be mean. They're trying to get on the air. Wow. That's that plot line. That's as much as I can talk about that plot line. I think I'm just scanning through my notes to see if there's anything else that's worth calling out. All right, let's jump way back.
Okay.
Jordan and Danny, let's say they have a really interesting plot. I thought in this episode, and one that I even found believable. We already talked about the unfunny opening sketch, and she comes up to him you know, while the show's going, and she's like, you open with a war and I asked you not to. And so now she's mad. And throughout the episode, they play a little bit with the dynamic of dating your boss,
yeah,
or the president of the network,
and getting feedback and professionally versus personally. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought it played realistically.
Mm-hmm.
I believed their fights. Some of it was like, I was unimpressed with particularly Danny, where it just seemed like he was rude.
Yeah.
And she's like, I asked you not to open with the war, and you knew, she says, you knew you shouldn't have, and you did it just because I asked you not to. Mm. And it looked like she was right, maybe.
Yeah, kinda. Danny feels that he's defending Matt. I feel like that's a part of this relationship. Yeah. And siding with Matt instead of Jordan. She's taking that personally. He's taking it personally that she's making it personal. I don't know. There's some pretty good versions of this fight happening. And there's one point at which, maybe 2/3 of the way through the episode, or maybe a little bit later, where Danny's like, okay, let's just have the fight now. And then they go and have it. Sometimes you're just like, all right, we got to just hash it out. And they get to a pretty good place there. I kind of appreciate the adult way they're handling their problems.
Except that she says, I apologize for telling you to get your ass back on the floor. And he's like, I can't come up with anything to apologize for. And I'm like,
that was bad.
I can definitely come up with things for you to apologize for. And she lets it slide.
Yeah.
I guess it's him being cute, mm-hmm. and she likes it. I don't know. Didn't work for me. But I agree with you that I liked that part. And then we also get this, as the episode progresses, she's guzzling orange juice like he referenced, and then she asks for orange juice. She's drinking it right from the thing, and he's like, what's going on? And she's like, I can't feel the baby. And he's like, we're going to the ER right now. They get interrupted by news about Tom's brother, mm-hmm. and eventually I liked take action, Danny. You can see why he's a showrunner, executive producer, because he's like, you, character we've never seen before, have you had anything to drink at the after show yet? And she's like, no. And he's like, then take her to the ER. She'll tell you why on the way, which is not any faster than take her to the ER. She can't feel the baby kick.
Yeah.
But sure, do it that way if you like.
That was good. I do like take action, Danny. And in general, just like the business of Danny doing his job has been fun, especially during the show. I always like that. And I also appreciate, I'm going to give Jordan just some props for like her instincts about the ratings and her just like intelligence about like where the show's falling apart and where the writing's getting bad. I always believe where she's coming from with this. And
yeah.
And I trust her discernment more than it seems like other people are right now.
I really liked what I can't remember exactly what she said, but she's like, you know, you need to do this to appeal more to women and this to appeal more to younger people and this. And Danny's like, so you want us to have more viewers? You want a bigger audience? I got it. I did think there was a funny moment where he like rushes her into a prop room and he finds his stethoscope because they do lots of medical sketches. It's like, I hear a heartbeat. And she's like, how do you know if it's mine or the baby's? And like,
he's like, good point.
It's the right question. A little silly, but I liked it. Mm-hmm. There's also one powerful moment where, you know, near the end, we'll get to that whole storyline more, but when they're seeing Tom's brother on the news and he's being mm-hmm. held hostage, Jordan sees the guy holding an axe and she's like, oh my God, the guy has an axe. And he's like, let's just not, like, why don't you come away from the TV? And I like that.
Yeah. She there was like almost like a childlike quality to that or something, like, cause she wasn't being powerful president, Jordan. She was just being like, you know, a person seeing something scary on the news, and that felt very relatable.
Yeah. So in the previous lease, we see that Matt's doing drugs,
yes.
and then for a little while in the episode, there's no drugs, and I was like, where are the drugs? And then we find the drugs, and it starts with Suzanne.
Yeah.
She's like, if I talk to you about something, you promise not to fire me. And he's like, I'm not going to fire you. And she's like, are you high right now? And I thought that was really interesting because I didn't see what she saw.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we as an audience could see it or if it had to be written that mm-hmm. way. I don't know if it's his pupils, which aren't going to carry on television, or if it's the way he's acting or behaving or whatever. And she's like, yeah, my mother took 20 to 30 Percocets a day. I especially like this because later that actress will go on to star in Nurse Jackie.
She'll
deal with a drug addicted friend for a long time. She won Emmys for her role on Nurse Jackie. Oh. She's really good on Nurse
she's
Jackie.
She's cool.
And then he's like, as soon as we have a hiatus, I'm going to stop, where I wanted to just slap him across the face, yeah. which is maybe not the right way to deal with addicts, but I wanted to. And then she's like, my mom killed herself when she was 10.
She said, my mom said something like that when she was 9, and then she slit her wrist when she was 10, or when I was 10.
Yeah, it was so. The girl who was 9. Yeah, not the yeah. mom.
Thank you.
And he says, I'm fine, Suzanne. I swear to God I am. I was like,
nobody believes you, Matt.
Now, later in this episode, he's basically just going to decide that he's done. And I don't know if we're supposed to believe it or not.
I don't. I wrote so many times at the end of this episode, like, is anybody believing this right now? And we watch him take like 3 pills. And then 10 minutes later in the episode, he's saying, I've quit. I've completely quit.
Right.
And you're like, you're high right now. How can you say you've quit?
And he's popping pills in his perennially unlocked office, which I found amusing. Mm-hmm. Like,
with tons of windows. Nerves.
Yes, in his all glass office. That's right. And so then we get to the good nights, and Danny flies out. And I don't know if you saw what I thought, but I was like, oh, Danny's going to go try to find Jordan. Mm-hmm. But he surprises us, and he's instead running to Matt, and he knows what's up with Matt. And you're like, how does he know? And he's like, you're high right now. And he's so mad. And it made me emotional.
Yeah.
Danny's anger at Matt, like, I felt it. And then Matt's like, I'm taking Flintstone vitamins. He's like, Suzanne told me that you're taking drugs. He's like, I was until an hour ago. I stopped now. And he's like, he was trying to write the show better. He's like, you're not writing the show any better high. And Dave's like, no, you were writing it worse.
Mm-hmm.
And you're done? And Matt's like, yeah. And I'm like, it's this easy? Like, maybe I'm going to try a pill addiction then. Like, if that's...
Well, yeah. And I mean, Danny even says, like, you're going to... It was Danny, right? Who was just like, you're going to feel terrible now for a while. Or was it Suzanne?
Suzanne okay. goes pretty deep on the effects
yeah.
and how he's going to crash and how she says, you're going to crash now. It's going to be worse. And they tell you. And she says something about like, Miss America could stand before you naked and give you the Pulitzer Prize and you'd be depressed about it. I was like, it's a lot of Aaron Sorkin fantasy in one sentence, but okay. But where is it going?
Yeah.
Like, I literally, is he going to pop more pills or did he magically quit? Like, will the addiction continue in further episodes? I guess is my question.
I'd be curious to hear what your hopes and dreams are for this. Like, and I don't hope any bad things for this fictional character. However,
right.
I don't want it to magically go away. I want it to be hard because I just want that to be realistic. Like, someone's coming down. It's going to be tough. Thank you. And this should be a very challenging moment for Matt, and it feels like he's getting away with it right
yes.
now.
Yes. Yes. I basically feel the same. I will be disappointed if that story is done because it feels too unrealistic.
Mm-hmm. Like maybe he misses a week, you know, or maybe we fast forward because Andy and Danny have had to take over the writing room while Matt goes to rehab or something. Like, there could be yeah. a show like that. I don't know. That could work. We don't have that many left
like
in this
episode. A show where they struggle that struggle a little bit more to get it written. I love that, actually. That's a great storyline.
Call me.
Yeah. And there's Suzanne has another scene with Matt where she's like, I know you know I know. I know you know I told Danny. And he's like, I know you know I know. And I was like, this reminds me of a scene on Friends with Matthew Perry where they're like, they don't know that we know they know. Mm-hmm. And she says, again, you're going to stop. And he's like, I already did. And she's not mad at him. He's not mad at her. He's mad at himself, he says. Okay. Mm-hmm. We did miss one line that I really, really liked, where at one point Jordan tells Matt, I want to make sure I get it right. Sorry, Jordan tells Danny something about shoving it up his ass. Yeah, she says, shove it up your ass. And he says, that's how you talk to the other showrunners? And she says, that's how I talk to you. It's like, okay, fine. That's the privilege you get when you're dating. Just some random notes from throughout the episode before okay. we get, because I'm just trying to hold Tom's plot line for the end mm-hmm, here, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But News 60 Not was funny. Even less funny than the opening sketch. A teacher kicking in the face, leggings for men. It's just so weird.
Yep.
Jack and Jordan have some conversation about AI writing sketches, which felt early.
Yeah, that was weird. And I'm trying to find a way to fit it into any of these plot lines. We know Jordan has plenty of opportunities to feel threatened by Jack in the way he's running the company. Hallie is enough, you know, of a threat. The idea of this whole AI thing, it's if it doesn't pay off later, like I'm fine because I don't want to talk about that anymore. But yeah. it just further points out like how crappy these extra moments in the show are.
Yeah. It's there. The episode, and we do have some more plot lines still. Matt and Mary do go on a date eventually. He calls her Mensa Lady, which I think is funny. Mm-hmm. I think it's weird that they have their after party right there on the set.
Yeah.
It seems like not what I would expect. A lot of the actors are talking about the ratings and thinking about what they should have done. Like, we should have put this one actor from the show in her swimsuit earlier because mm-hmm. that would be good for ratings, and don't open the war because it's bad for ratings. And they're like, don't, and Simon's like the ratings conversation cop. Don't talk about it. We're not supposed to talk about it. Right. This episode was missing one big thing, which was Cal. This episode needed some Cal.
We did need some Cal. No wonder I felt a little bit lonely watching this.
There's one point where Danny refers to the show as S60. He's like, people aren't saying, did you see S60 last night? Mm. And I don't think that's the way that people would abbreviate that show.
You say that knowing I abbreviate all of our file names with letters S60 on it.
But would you say it out loud?
No, I wouldn't. It sounds so weird. It sounds like a Samsung phone.
There was one very dated conversation for Matt where Matt's desperate for the numbers. He wants to know how the viewership has been for that episode. And he says on the phone, they can tell us who won an election in 2.5 minutes. And I was like, no, they really can't ever anymore.
Yep.
My friend. All right. So there's Tom. Okay. I don't know. I'm handing the reins to you. You tell me. You tell me this story.
Yeah. So we hear early on in the episode, I think Harriet's been getting calls, right? Harriet's been getting calls from Tom's parents that they haven't heard from Tom, Tom's brother, at their like regular ritual of calling on a pretty regular basis or something, or an email or some sort of contact that they would have gotten by now. And they haven't heard from him for a couple days. So they're trying to get a hold of Tom and they're going through Harriet to do it. Or maybe they don't want to bother Tom, or they don't want to freak him out. So they're using Harriet to just say, like, oh, yeah. has he gotten the email? You know, but we know that, like, by virtue of this being a kind of a tropey plot line, that things aren't going to go very well. But they spend most of the episode trying to decide. Harriet and Sim are trying to decide, like, should we go talk to Tom about it? And they disagree. Harriet says no. Sim says yes, right?
No.
Oh, it's the other way around.
Sim doesn't want to talk to him about it. Because he's like, we need this to be a good show.
And the ratings.
We need these to be good ratings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep. And she's like, that's what you're worried about? And he's like, I don't have a movie coming out at Christmas. And I was like,
okay. We don't know that movie's going to be good.
Simon's like, everything's all right, which I think is funny because he's no. And then you do hear a crew person at that scene say 2 minutes back, which is the thing they said all the time on Sports Night. It was funny to me to hear that. And then later on, you have, you know, now it's like you said, they basically have the same conversation multiple times in the episode, mm-hmm. which I never understand why they're doing.
Like, I'm going to go tell him. I'm going to go tell him. No, we can't do it. Wait until the back half.
Friends of Tom's parents haven't heard from their kid either. Like, that's really bad. Mm-hmm. And so now it's after the show. And there's a really sweet scene where Lucy's getting her dress hemmed, and it's a perk mm-hmm. of working at the show that the costumer will do it. She's complimenting Tom.
Tom's beating himself up about the snowblower.
And he says, snow machine, is it a snowblower? And Tom says, like, amateurs aren't hard on themselves. And it really resonated with me. I had just, when I watched the episode, I had just finished being in a couple weeks of a semi-pro production. It was community theater, but it was paid community theater of a show. And it was interesting to me to see the people who were, like, always so pleased with everything they did. Like, God, we're perfect. We're good. And, like, I'm always proud of the stuff I do well, but I'm going to be dialed into the stuff that I didn't do well. Like, here's what I should have done better. Here's where I must get better for the next show, whatever. So I liked that line, that amateurs aren't hard on themselves. I liked him kind of separating it. He also yells at Simon, eyes front, when Simon is enjoying Lucy's dress too much. And then Simon says, like, I need to talk to you. And Tom goes on about how he's bummed about the ratings and he's bummed that he screwed up, but he likes Lucy so much that he's happy, even though he's sad.
Yeah.
And
he just Simon wants to relax scared. And not worry about it, not worry about anything for a little bit.
Yeah. And so Simon doesn't say the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get a quick glimpse of the host of this night's episode of Studio 60. Do you remember who that was?
Jenna Fischer.
Yeah. One of two actresses from The Office on this episode, because Lucy was on The British Office.
Oh, that's right.
And they basically played the same person.
Yeah.
And then Jack comes in with the breaking news. Three American soldiers were ambushed and are hostages. And I really want to know your thoughts on this plot line. Like you said, it's a little tropey. You have a sense of where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
But I had multiple thoughts at once. One, I think I mostly put this plot line out of my mind.
Yeah.
Two, I think it's going to come up more. I think like the next episodes are going to go deeper on it in a way that's going to feel, I'm predicting, ill-earned or just like the wrong show. And three, we get some shots that could feel iconic. Like Sim is running through the studio to get to Tom, and Tom is running to get to the, but my feeling was they haven't done enough to build the relationships between these characters. I don't know if it's the actors or if it's the writing or it's the conceit of the show or what. I think it's a little bit of all of it. But like in season two or three, I guess season three, when Jed, or when Leo is running to Jed Bartlett to tell him that Zoe's been kidnapped, it's so emotional just watching him run, his kind of awkward older person gait. Mm-hmm. When he runs, like you feel it. But
I got goosebumps just thinking about it. No, I totally agree. I totally agree.
But Sim running to go get Tom, it's like, I mean, I get why it's happening, but it lacked all the punch. And I feel like it's because they haven't done enough to build up the love between these characters. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. And then they have to run to find a TV, which seemed insane to me. It seems like that place should be filled with TVs that can be tuned to the local, to the network news from the Harris station. But
they all knew the exact place to run too. And they were kind of running from different places or something. I can't remember, but it did feel like everybody was like, oh, let's go to the TV. We know where that is.
And then Tom throws stuff at the expensive equipment.
I mean, you mentioned this.
And then he wants to do more and they have to stop him. Mm-hmm. Does that resonate with you? Does that feel believable to you?
I knew we would talk about this because people have destroyed equipment before. Like Neil punched the monitor and hurt his hand. That wasn't believable. Tom throwing a coffee mug at a monitor. I just don't see him doing that because like people have respect for the stuff around them. I certainly wouldn't do it. I would I would crumple, right? Like that would feel much more like believable.
Right, crumple, even punch an inanimate object, sure. I can get. Not a monitor, but a wall or a table. It's going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt the object, mm-hmm. almost certainly. I wouldn't do those things, but I would understand. But like chucking stuff at equipment when there's also people there who could get hurt by shards, or like, it just, I don't know. Didn't like it.
I couldn't figure out
what. Once again, this is not how humans operate.
Like,
it was not clear.
I figured it was a coffee mug, and then I'm like, oh, that would spill. He doesn't care.
And now it starts to get really weird. And this is where suddenly I had memories flooding back from what I think is the next episode. Mm-hmm. But Jack's like, a plane is going to pick up your parents and take them, I guess, to the newsroom.
The news bureau?
They can be closer to the news people. Often in these kinds of situations, at least according to the West Wing, the White House will take them to the White House or to an area by there where they can wait for updates or whatever. Meet the president, which is more interesting than meeting Jack from the network, one of many. I don't know.
I could not figure what they're going to do. Like, his brother's kidnapped. I would assume someone from the military or the State Department or something. Like, those are the types of people who should be involved. It's not like, we'll take you there so that we can news really well, or that we'll send in a negotiator. Yeah. Like if it was like a private kidnapping thing, I could imagine the network saying, oh, we'll get our people involved because we can do something, I guess. But this was like, I don't know. Maybe he wants to go get in a plane and be with his parents. Like maybe that's the more appropriate thing. Like we'll send you there.
Here, exactly. And that's the offer, right? We're going to get you to your parents so that you can all be together. Okay. I get that.
Also, they live across the country. Is what they want to do right now get on a plane for like 4 hours? Probably not. Like
five. But then you get like, I'm going to give a little spoiler because you and I have both seen the show before. I have some recollection that like Studio 60 or the network is going to rescue Tom's brother
Not
the United States. Like I feel like something like that happens. Like, oh, we have really powerful friends and we can do this. Mm-hmm. And what the hell is happening? Like, why is this what this show is going to choose to be about for its few remaining episodes? Mm-hmm. Even if you didn't know they're going to be canceled, like, why this? Again, on the West Wing, it made sense. On the newsroom, it could make sense.
Yeah.
But here, it's like, it's so out of left field.
Yeah. Oh, well, the next episode, I mean, we can spoil the name of the next episode. It's K&R Part 1, and that's Kidnap and Rescue, right? Like, that's... I think you're right.
I can wait.
That's a three-parter, and then we have the finale. Oh, so we are in for some lows and highs.
Three-parter K&R. Okay. I did like two other moments in this episode. One is Herb's like, I watched the tape. I said Studio City and not Studio 60. Why? And Matt's like, just wasn't our night. Okay. And then at the very end of the episode, Danny and Matt each ask each other if they're okay. Mm. Are you all right? Yeah. Are you all right? Yeah. I like them. I like mm-hmm. their friendship still.
Yeah.
We've talked about that from the beginning. It's sweet.
They're good. They're good people. I do agree that I feel like Matthew Perry acted this one really well. There were a couple times right after he took the drugs that I didn't see bloodshot eyes or something, but I feel like he was like blinking a lot more, like kind of like squinting, and just it was tougher for him to like stay in the moment.
Yes.
I thought that was really well done. And of course, Brad Whitford did a marvelous job of being capable when he needed to be capable, but also sensitive when he needed to be sensitive and stuff. There were some good moments there, even though he couldn't find something to apologize about.
I agree with everything you said, but even more than what we've talked about before, I don't see fundamental differences between Danny and Josh Lyman.
Mm.
Like, they seem to have the same personality to me. Different jobs,
mm-hmm.
but like, if Josh quit the White House and went to work at Studio 60, I don't know what elements of his personality would be different. Which, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it's the same guy, right? Does it feel different to you? Does it feel like a decidedly different character?
No. It's easy to like look back on some of the funniest Josh Lyman moments, and it's when he's being incapable or like when he's really stuck in his head and you know, replying back to the message board or... you know, drywall falling on him and stuff. Like, there's some really silly stuff, but like when he's being a pro, it totally feels like the same time when Danny's being a pro.
Yes.
And maybe a little overconfident sometimes, but like knows how to get stuff done. And, yeah, I think you're right. I think he kind of operates at one speed and it's the same guy. We're seeing Brad Whitford both times.
Yeah. And he's, I don't mind it.
Yeah,
I like this guy.
I'm there.
He's fun. So don't forget, dear friends, go to theincomparable.com/members. Support us. Support The Incomparable. You can do it for cheap. You can do it for expensive. You can choose. You get the extra material, bonus tracks, exclusive episodes. You get live recording sessions. You get bootlegs. You can listen to watch-along commentary tracks like the ones that Dan and I do for movies.
Mm-hmm.
You get all kinds of stuff. Once you get to give us money, so do that. Review us somewhere.
Please.
I don't care where. It could be your local newspaper. It's fine.
Yeah. Send us a clipping if that's what happens. Then we'll read it.
Yeah. Yeah. But so overall, though, you liked this episode?
Yeah. I mean,
I'm talking about our podcast, not the TV show. No, okay.
I like our episode of Sorkin in it. I did. It's tough because it was kind of dark and I wanted to laugh. I wanted so much to laugh at the sketches. And with the exception of Nicolas Cage, it wasn't there for me. So I was a little disappointed about that, but that's not what this episode was like. And I still thought it was a good one.
Yeah. Some really nice performances. And I think you're right. Like, not shocking, I guess, with all that we know, that Matthew Perry can deliver a compelling performance as a person dealing with drug addiction.
Mm-hmm.
But it really was very much not overly done, right? It wasn't like, you know, when people play drunk, they tend to get very drunk very quickly. And this is like, this was believable highness to me.
Yep.
So it might not have been Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip's night, but it was Studio 60's night.
Well done. Studio City's night.
I'm trying to write a Sorkin line. Yeah. But, you know, keep Studio 60 in it, I guess. Is that what we say? Is that right?
Sure. I don't think we do that.
No?
How about keep Sorkin in it?
I was going to throw it to Herb and have him say it.
He might blow the line, though.